Welcome to Evolutionary Men, where we learn to lead in life and love with head, heart, and guts. This is for men wanting to deepen their presence in the world, clarify their purpose, more easily connect with their power, and find ease in dating and relationships. I'm your host, Jason Lang. Let's get started. I'm excited to announce that doors are now open for the men's group experience. This is your chance to join a powerful brotherhood of men ready to grow, lead, and live with purpose. If you're done playing small and ready to rise, this is where it starts. Just head over to mens.group to learn more. All right, and welcome back. Super pumped after a bit of a hiatus here to be back for another episode of our Heart of Shadow series. And I'm joined here by my brother-in-arms, Dr. Luke Adler. Welcome back, Luke.
Thank you, brother. Good to be here.
And yeah, I was super excited. I reached out to Luke. We're doing a Heart of Shadow program right now and was so pumped to record this episode because this thing kind of clicked for me this week where, you know, we've talked a lot in this series, in my podcast, in your podcast, in general, around this idea of becoming more resilient as men. So being able to handle more of life's stresses and stay present and receive it and not collapse and whatnot. And as I was kind of digging into that, actually, I had done another podcast where I was talking about the kind of weakness of macho men. And it's interesting, since I've recorded that, I've kind of caught myself where I was like, oh, it's so interesting that even that frame, the weakness of macho men, is still a bit patriarchal. They're strong and there's weak. And men are strong, everyone else is weak, right? Of just like it comes down to this kind of binary thing. And that got me into, well, like, what's another way to think about that? And then that's where I kind of was feeling into, you know, fragile versus, okay, resilient, right? To be fragile means we're easily kind of taken offline, shattered, lose presence, you know, whatever, overwhelmed. Because there's, quite frankly, I think you and I both know women like this because we're married. There's plenty of feminine beings in the world who may not be physically strong, but are sure as shit not fragile. Like are incredibly powerful, strong in that resilient sense. Anyway, that was kind of the goose chase that led me onto this word fragile and looking into it. And then I came across these concepts of anti-fragile and fragile. And the best way I'll drop a graphic in the show notes for this that I can point to this is it was a very simple graphic where it was like fragile. It's like the ball hits the glass shatters, right? So it doesn't hold its integrity and it falls apart. And then resilient, which is the one I've actually spoken towards a lot, I think, and is still very powerful. The example is just ball like hits the iron slab and it bounces off. That's it, right? Boom, it's gone. Very powerful, very strong, hasn't shattered, but you know, you hit it long enough, at some point, there's gonna be a crack in that system because that energy, it can only take so much. And that's it, you know, it's like that energy just goes away, something. But then the definition of anti-fragile got me so excited because I was like, holy crap, I think this is what we are doing and seeing in our shadow work program and in our own group. And that was this idea of anti-fragile, where the chaos and disorder from the outside world actually strengthens the system over time. So it doesn't weaken it. And the example they used for that was instead of like a flat wall, it was like a curve that actually takes the ball in, takes its momentum, and then shoots it out. So that energy is redirected. And, you know, in the martial world, you know, Aikido, I think, is a great example of this, where we use the force coming at us and we redirect it to a deeper aim or purpose or safety or whatever that might be. And I'll pause here in a second, but that image of anti-fragile got me just lit up because I was like, boom, that's what we're doing with shadow work here. In these groups, that's even beyond making men more resilient. It's actually taking this material, the things that trigger us, that get us reactive. And through the masculine vortex, right, this engine of love and just presence that we create in these groups with this modality, we transmute that into vitality and life force we can then direct in ways we want in our life. And why that's beyond resilient is actually the more that stuff comes at us, the more powerful we become. And I think this is something you and I have both experienced in our own selves, that, you know, it's not 100% of the time. Sometimes we get burnt out and fried, human beings. But on a good day, when we're resourced, it actually kind of gets exciting when we get triggered or reactive or realize, ooh, there's something going on here I'm not conscious of. It's in my shadow. And why it's exciting is because there's almost always gold on the other side, right? There's, wow, if I go into this, I think there's something really possible here I'm not even realizing. And to me, that, I think, is this anti-fragile thing of, wow, shadow work becomes this engine for releasing vitality and energy in my life and redirecting it. So in a sense, I want to get triggered because then I can use that to deepen myself and show up in different ways.
I love what you're saying. It's so apropos to what we're creating in Heart of Shadow. And of course, you know, because our work is on the living evolutionary edge of transformation, it's also completely related to what's happening culturally in the world, right? It's not just a mirror. It's the exact same phenomenon. And the idea of resilience is really interesting because we heard that a lot during the pandemic. You know, we need to become more resilient in our immunity and our health. And when I think of that term, and when we hear it as a culture, we hear certain colloquialisms like stay safe, or when the going gets tough, the tough get going, or persist. Or, you know, I always think of Michael Jordan when I think of, you know, resilience, right? There's always going to be one human being that has more resilience than every other human being, right? Like, he's someone I think of, or the great explorers of the Arctic, you know, who persisted through unbelievable temperatures for several winters. You know, how do some people have that ability to survive and even thrive and excel while others have less of an ability? And people will often interview such people, and often a person like that who's kind of exceeded all expectations will have some phrase that they live by, some like thing in their mind that they would tell themselves, you know, and really what that all points to is mindset. You know, there was some kind of mindset that they could anchor into that allowed them to persist. And I would actually connect that way of approaching challenge to resilience, to say that there's some kind of sutra or phrase or core belief that allows you to stay with difficulty. But like you said, Jason, we're all limited in these bodies. We're all limited by the physicality of life. And there is a limit to what any, even the greatest kind of athlete or survivalist or kind of, you know, person in their field that's reached the top, there's a limit to what they can withstand. If they hit the ball against the wall long enough, that ball loses its you know, elastic quality and just can no longer bounce. It's just like a thud, you know? And so we've noticed that. And then we've experienced this thing in running Heart of Shadow and refining it cohort after cohort. Like, no, we're not really talking about resilience, because in fact, in what we teach, we're not giving people anything to believe in. Like, we're not teaching any dogma in what we do. It's an experience of a space of awareness, of a space of being that gets generated in relationship. This is one of the key attributes. So you think of Michael Jordan, like his relationship and him becoming one of the greatest athletes of all time was really one with himself. I mean, he had his coach, and he did work with some psychotherapists, but It was really like his own self-determination. We're not talking about that. We're talking about relating. What happens when you relate in a certain way to another human being that becomes available to you, that allows you to move past a state of resilience, past a state of individual toughness, where I, me, myself, have to be the one to persevere, to fight, to kind of win the championship. It requires another being. It requires me giving something and receiving something in a certain way that moves me beyond my own individual toughness to not a sense of toughness at all, like you're saying, Jason. It's not like strong man, weak man. It's to a space that's beyond resilience, that's beyond belief and beyond mindset. A space that's beyond our own sense of inadequacy and unworthiness that we're having to fight against in order to be resilient. It's like what you said. It's a space that could be described as being made up of love, being made up of support, being made up of creativity, ingenuity, wisdom. It almost makes me think, Jason, we should like retitle our work like from shadow work to like masculine vortex work. Because we're doing the shadows like around the identity, right? But the magic, not the magic, the phenomenon is in the vortex. That's what creates this incredible Aikido-like resilience where like you and I, having been doing this a long time, it's just we're getting more powerful, more creative. We're willing to take more risk from a totally grounded place that's rooted in the support, you know, like for this venture, Jason, the support of you and I, sense of total adventure and brotherhood that's grounded in a shitload of experience, a lot of hard work, intelligence, understanding of business, understanding of psychology, understanding of emotion, et cetera, and so on. I can go on and on. And just a quick example, like your kids were sick a couple weeks ago, and I was running the group alone. And you had to do that a couple times when I couldn't figure out the tech early on. But it was really interesting because, you know, I've led shadow work by myself for many years, and I've gotten used to running it with you for several years. And, you know, my experience of working together is like, I'm super relaxed and like, I'm having a lot of fun, and I get to like pass it to you. And it's this very easeful experience. And it's not that I'm incapable of leading by myself. I like it. I enjoy it. But that night when I was doing it, I was like, wow, I don't feel as relaxed. Like I was having fun. I was able to settle in and find a nice groove, but I was holding the space without you. And so I just felt like I had to hold more energy than I normally do. And so there was a way in which relationally, you know, not having the vortex that you and I hold together, it just required more of me. And I could do it. But I realized I enjoy doing it with you more because I relax more. It's more fun. And so there's this relational thing where I'm witnessing you, I'm holding you're holding me. And there's this interplay that's more delightful and creative. And frankly, just there's more well-being in it for me. Yeah. And so it's just like a personal example of like, you know, our connection as friends, our connection as teachers, and our connection as business people. It allows for this vortex to get created when we teach. That's even more expansive than it is by myself. And so that tells me something about teaching. It tells me something about business and who I want to work with and what I want to do. And that's an example of what shadow work is. You know, I can give more, but I think that's an interesting one from a business perspective, you know, and a holding space perspective.
Yeah, it's so cool you had that. I've had that experience many times, and part of why I initially was like, hey, you want to do this thing together? It's like, I can do it alone, but I just have a sense it's going to feel very different if we're co-leading it together. And it has, I would totally agree. And I think that's an example of, I think it's also an example of the anti-fragility I'm talking about, in a sense where, because we were holding it together, our program was able to hold. I had to step out to take care of my kids. Instead of that meeting was canceled, guys don't get, you know, there was like space, and good stuff was still able to happen. In another way, I've been kind of thinking about this anti-fragility state is it really is the state of relationality. What I mean by relational is it's a dynamic relational process where we are impacted and reacting, like reacting in a good sense, which is very different than that resilient thing. Because, you know, another way I've talked about in some recent episodes, and we've talked about, I think to think about the resilience thing, particularly for the masculine, I actually think there's two versions of it that manifest. There's resiliency in terms of, and right, we have definitely worked with guys. You have a little bit of this. I have a little bit of this. We are the Ivan Drago, Rocky IV slab of iron, like can just take so much. Like, just keep hitting us. We're going to grind. We're going to get through it. And a lot of men, I think, have that. Like, there is no room for me to be impacted by my life or slow down or show any weakness or whatever. But I actually think there's a polarity there. It's still a type of resilience, but it goes the other direction, which is instead of the ball hitting the wall is going to go beat the shit out of every ball before it even hits it. So it's the kind of aggressive coming at unilateral, you know, macho man, whatever you want to call it kind of thing that, is not at all relational. This is what's happening. Right. And often what's powering that is underneath, I feel scared or weak or some capacity. So I'm going to attack you before you can attack me. Right. To eliminate the threat. I think those are both versions of this kind of resilience thing that I'm talking about, which is not really relational. There's not kind of an exchange of that energy, and it's easier. You know, I think that's the honest truth in some ways. And again, we're in a cultural moment where we're seeing a push back to unilateral action, particularly from the masculine, that this is what I think should happen and this is what we need to do. And to me, you know, personally, I'm like, well, that's fucking lazy. Like, it's actually much easier to tell someone what to do than to actually relate to them, right? To actually, as an entity, come to some kind of agreement and move forward together. And to me, that's the more anti-fragile state, where something's coming at us and then we're having to work with that energy and redirect it in some way to deepen our relationship or the world or whatever. And I think about this very viscerally, even in terms of intimate relationship, where I'm like, oh, there it is. I've just used a different frame for it. I often teach guys or talk to guys about, you know, in my book, real love and real trust, they're earned, right? There's a certain amount that can be, you know, just come online. But the deepest trust I've experienced in my coupledom, and I've seen a lot of couples go through, is not that we never have any problem or conflict. It's actually what happens when we do have conflict or there's a rupture. We're able to repair in that process and come out of it. And actually, every time we do that, it creates a much deeper trust of, I don't have to fear conflict because I trust that we can move through this thing together. And, you know, the image I often use is like weaving a tapestry. You know, every rupture is a chance to create another stitch. And every time you stitch it, it gets stronger, right? The bond actually gets stronger. And I think that's another example of this kind of anti-fragility that, you know, really, we have a lot of therapists in our personal shadow group, and we know a lot of therapists. You know, most of them that work with couples are like, yeah, the couples that make it are the ones that learn to fight well. Like they don't pretend like there's no problem. They actually fight. Doesn't mean aggressive, but they come into conflict. I want something and you want something. And we have to process the reality of that negotiation together. And in that, we actually create more strength and trust in, with each other, because the feeling is, oh, I don't have to pretend to be anything other than myself. You don't have to pretend to be anything other than self. We can both bring ourselves honestly forward, and we have a mechanism to always reestablish connection. And that's another version of this anti-fragility, where the more we go towards the conflict or have the stressors, the stronger our relationship becomes. And what we're kind of pointing to here is this thing we're on the vanguard of, I would say, particularly this process that we lead men through in groups and that we've experienced ourselves of using the shadow work to kind of bring this masculine vortex online, it does that. Where suddenly the things that are coming at us at life, they don't chip away at us and make us weaker and sap energy. But when we have the engine behind us to metabolize that, like we've talked about, it liberates energy for us and we become more. Our capacity actually goes up the more we're stressed, the more we're challenged, the more we have to deal with our reactivity. And so we become more powerful fathers, husbands, leaders. Our bodies, I would argue, get stronger. I'm pretty clear, like, yeah, my body is actually much more powerful than it was 6 years ago. And part of why that is I actually allow my body to be impacted now. I don't pretend like I'm not, you know, suffering or overtired. It's like, oh no, I feel it. And then I work with that and that I take better care of my body. And lo and behold, it has more energy then to give back into the system. But so this idea that, you know, we've seen it in groups. I mean, I remember our very first group, right? We finished and then some fucking gnarly shit happened to a few of those guys in their life circumstances. And it was unbelievable to see that they now had somewhere to work with that. That this thing that might have before just shattered them, actually, they were able to go deeper into it and come out of those experiences even more alive and whole and able to engage with life moving forward. And I think that's what inspired me for us to talk about this, was to give guys this vision of what we're talking about here is not just, oh my God, I can take more. I can take more of the stress in my life for my job. Like my capacity for suffering is going to go up. It's like, no, the mechanism we're talking about here is every time something comes at you, if you're willing to turn towards it and work with it in a loving space, you're going to come out of that more alive, more capable, more engaged in a way that actually makes you more than you were, not less.
Yeah, let's drill down to it even more. The space that resilience is built around is a vibratory experience that none of us ever want to experience. And culture, personality, identity is structured in a way we create ourselves in a way to not feel this very core experience inside that we could surmise as this feeling of unworthiness or not being good enough, or that something's wrong with me, with life. And of course, when you think about that statement and that feeling, you go, yeah, of course, I don't ever want to feel that. I don't want to feel like something's wrong with me. And I will do anything and everything to never feel that. In fact, I will build an identity and I'll create a life to avoid feeling powerlessness, to avoid feeling loss, to avoid feeling anxiety. I don't want to feel those things. So let me structure myself by being very positive or being very tough. I'll use just some typical examples. Or maybe I'll beat unworthiness to the punch and just think I'm terrible, I'm a piece of shit, and I'll just kind of anchor into that because at least there's some familiarity there. And so no matter how you approach that space of not being good enough, whether you resist it, avoid it, you know, be like I was many years, an eternal Tony Robbins, just trying to stay inspirational around it. How do I keep inspiring? And if you look at any of those contexts, eventually they become pretty boring. They become pretty tiring. Like if you've ever animated it, if I've ever animated it, if you hear someone else animating, any of these paroxysms of like positivity or negativity or polarity, eventually you're just like, this is fucking boring. Like I'm kind of tired of hearing you keep saying like, you know, live strong, you know, whatever the thing is. Like it's because you can tell any declaration like that is against something else. Mm-hmm. Meaning there's resistance to it. There's some part of us that's trying to keep another part of us shadowed. And we just know anytime we're in a polarity like that, we are hiding some part of our experience. So even if you're like, I'm a piece of shit, I'm ugly, what's in the shadow is you're beautiful and you're positive and you're wonderful. And it takes energy to resist your beauty. Anti-fragility, as a matter of speaking, is like another word to say that would be like the experience of being indomitable, the experience of being like never endingly lifted up, the experience of like a pure source of inspiration that never ends, right? And that's what anti-fragility is pointing to, is a strength that just has no bottom to it. A strength that has the ability to be utterly flexible and at the same time, like utterly stiff and upright and erect. It's got this capacity to adapt and move and like, yes, Aikido, take your energy and redistribute it. It's in other words, it's alive. It's not fixed. It's not married to, in a fixed way, a certain state of being. What happens in heart of shadow and shadow work, in the heart of shadow, let's be specific, the heart of shadow is that we take people into a state of consciousness, a state of awareness, or an experience where anything that you have inside of you, any emotion, any feeling of belief, gets to be held, not just witnessed, but held, reflected, vibrated back to you with absolutely no agenda. There's no agenda to fix, to remediate, to opine, to have an opinion, to kind of coach. And what begins to happen is that sense of identity that's fighting to not feel unworthy, to try to not feel like something's wrong, that sense of trying to hold that deep sense of inadequacy hidden, it just unfurls. And sometimes that happens really quickly, like a massive catharsis. And sometimes it melts a little more gently. And that's the skill that you and I, of course, bring, Jason, through many, many years of training, is meeting someone's pain right where it's at, meeting that sense of really fragility. You know, even in a resilient state, there's some way we're trying to project that fragile feeling of something's wrong, and allowing someone to experience a state where nothing's wrong, where there's nothing to fix, where there's nothing to remediate, where there's nothing broken. And it's not even like I'm not even trying to point to anything mystical or beyond here. We could use that kind of language, but it's the phenomenon of love and care that's present in a group, this context, a group of men, that requires nothing. You're not requiring anything of me, Jason. Even when we teach, you know, one of the amazing things about the way we teach is, and I feel it from you, and I hope you feel it from me, is this space to just go wherever you want to go, to be however you want to be. I never have the experience of like, oh, I wish Jason would say this or Jason would do that. I mean, if that crosses my mind, I might ignore it. It's just like, no. That follows us even into the teaching. It's just like there is total freedom to explore and express. And what that freedom allows relationally is this experience of anti-fragility. You become free to not have to fear that there will be some kind of reprimand or punishment because we're not living in a space of something's wrong. You can't really make a mistake when there's been a space that's open to welcome all that you are, all of your judgment, all of your hate, all of your sexual shame, all of your perversion, whatever tendency there might be to murder, to the darkest of the dark, that can all be brought into the group. Your tendency for great love, your tendency for positivity, all of it is welcomed. And what happens is our sense of self and identity begins to anchor into a deeper place beyond unworthiness, beyond not feeling good enough. We actually anchor our sense of who we are in a space that is beyond resilience, a space that is not fragile whatsoever, a space that is teeming with life force and energy and connection. It is so beyond resilience. It does not require any believing into any philosophy. It does require a few things, though. And that's the principles of the work, which is transparency, vulnerability, mm-hmm. playing your edge, honoring self, honoring all of our agreements. It requires a few things.
Yeah, so beautiful. Oh, man. I love that frame of, there's the space of nothing's wrong. You know, that one of my Zen teachers, I think it was the name of one of her books, which was really just, everything is workable. And it is this frame shift where it's just, oh, whatever's happening, I can work with that. I can be with that. I can explore with that. And suddenly I can, adaptive is the other word that's kind of coming to mind with anti-fragile. It's like, I'm able to adapt to the moment in, I don't have to make the moment wrong first to get somewhere. It's just, this is what is, right? And when we create the safety and the container and the love, we can fully be with what is, and that almost automatically starts to transmute it. And, at a more kind of granular level, I think what we see in this is it's, part of the engine is an engine of transmutation of whether it's fear, guilt, shame, anger, lust, these things a lot of us men feel are kind of untouchable or make us bad, right? In this anti-fragile system, we take that, and particularly in the group context we create, we can turn all of it into connection, where we leave being in that space feeling more connected to ourselves, more connected to our brothers, and more connected to our lives. And that's that kind of energetic, generative capacity that we see that I think is really the power, the anti-fragile here, where in a sense, then the more that comes at us, the more we're able to liberate, right? It's really that frame in a sense. And we've seen it start to play out, in our personal group and some of the groups we've led, that conflict, moving through conflict of some kind, actually strengthens the group. Right? Something comes in, the group has to learn to negotiate it, and then they come out of that stronger than they were before, versus the resilient path of we're just going to ignore it or suffer in it or pretend like it's not there. That doesn't really, work long term is what we've seen. There's just so much more energy available when we learn to work with this. And that's, really the anti-fragile thing, I guess, in a sense, is you can work with anything. Anything can become a fuel source when you're willing to consciously turn towards it with love. There's nothing, right? There's nothing a man has ever brought us in a group that has been too dark or too twisted or too weird, right? It's just, boom, this is what is, and we're going to love you right in that. And that liberates, that allows that deeper identity to, really constellate with guys that makes them so much more powerful in the world. And yes, what I would say, anti-fragile, where then we're not afraid of life happening to us, right? We actually are excited to go out there, to get messy, to try things, to experiment, to break things, because that actually, every time we do that, we're coming out more capable, right? Able to handle more in the world and work with it and be enlivened by it. I think that's the thing that's, always mind-blowing to me, of that we do deep, deep work, some of it extraordinarily painful for some guys. And it is always, you can't see me if you're just listening, but you know, just two fingers away, a heartbeat away from such humor and play and love and the fluidity to go back and forth we sometimes see of what happens when that energy starts to get liberated, that we can be in the darkest place. And then suddenly light floods in, and it's not bypassing the darkness like the kind of traditional spiritual bypass thing. It actually comes from having gone fully into the pain. Then it's like, fuck, I can see now, like, if I stay here, fuck yeah, my life's gonna suck, right? Like there's just like a reality comes forward, and then some humor and some play and some light and some love and vitality that all comes from that kind of anti-fragility. But it doesn't come from pretending. You know, the other place I'll just share, you know, I'm a men's work guy, I've been kind of in the David Data world, John Wineland world, and in the polarity world, you know, there's the masculine holds the space. And okay, I'm gonna hold the space. And I got feedback very early from my wife that was like, when you fucking do that shit, I can't feel you at all. You know, because I would like take it on so like rigidly in a sense. And what we're talking about here is it's like, it's not just increasing your capacity to suffer. So I really want to point to that in terms of like a relational example, because we can do resiliency work. And sometimes I do this work with men because there is a certain amount of capacity where I can go in and maybe my intimate partner's angry at me and I can hold it, right? That energy comes at me and I can get non-reactive and I can hold it. That's kind of the more traditional resilience thing. What we're talking about is when we go into the anti-fragile space, we're not just holding it, we're taking that energy and kind of like, I don't know, a hungry animal. We're like, yeah, let's bite that off and let's dig into this. Like, let's get into it. Let's play with this. Let's really get to the core of it. And I might spit a little fire back in a loving way, and it comes back and forth. And suddenly we come out of that even stronger, right? This thing that I could have just held the space and held it in, and then, okay, I didn't get reactive, she didn't get reactive. It goes way deeper than that, where we consciously engage that. And in a sense, we turn whatever that tension is into more love, right? And that's the engine. You know, that's another way to think of this vortex and engine. We take any tension, conflict, disharmony, shadow, and we can transmute it into connection and love. And when that is firing, a whole different type of man can emerge from that. Right. This is what we're kind of pointing at here, guys, that if you want to go beyond just resilient to this really unique, adaptive, anti-fragile space that is so much more relational, and I think is the thing that is the world is just dying for from the masculine right now, which is not, I'm just going to take it all. And it's not, this is the way it has to be. It's, let's get messy, really get in here and figure out and negotiate this and try to take this energy of conflict and redirect it so we all come out of it healthier, happier, with more love, with more connection. And we don't have many examples of that as men and what that kind of leadership looks like. But you can experience it in a group like the one we've created.
Yeah, I think just to highlight a few things you said, you're really pointing to moving beyond an archetypal approach to relationship, which is, you know, the core archetypes are the polarities, masculine and feminine, or yin and yang. And I think it's really great work to be able to feel, this is what the masculine feels like, this is what the feminine feels like, this is what yang feels like and yin. You want to be able to embody those and make them distinct from one another. But the truth of the matter is yin and yang, masculine and feminine, they only exist in relationship, meaning they can't exist independent of one another. And when you think of the Taiji symbol, yin and yang, it's not a circle, it's a sphere that's not spinning centripetally, it's spinning like in every direction at once. It's like a you know, a swirl of energy that's utterly dynamic, and that the source of it isn't its polarity. It's actually a unified, undifferentiated state that has yet to differentiate into masculine and feminine. And so what we're really pointing to energetically is yeah, it's great to be in the polarity, but you are not just the polarity. You are the source from which the polarity arises. You are a state of dynamic, alive beingness that is made up of something that's generative and supportive and loving. And at the depth of shadow work, the depth of the shadow is that. It's something that is, you know, beyond polarity and gives us the capacity to then emerge into polarity again. It's a state that's centered around being, that's dynamic, where you become the space itself and are attuned to the wisdom within the space to then enact whatever feels appropriate in a given moment. And of course, it takes time to get used to that. You don't necessarily learn that from doing shadow work one time. You know, that's ultimately what shadow work teaches you, is to live in that space relationally, which is different than living in it from a meditative spiritual perspective where you're sitting on your meditation mat. You might be able to be in that state in meditation. We're talking about, I would argue, it's advanced, and it is an advance of that work, which is to take that sense of deep connectiveness and bring it into relationship, which is, I mean, it's unarguable that is the ultimate challenge. And that is the challenge before us as human beings. And just to highlight one more time, the fragility of being dictating, of taking that yang and just saying, this is the way, right? It points to an incredible amount of fragility inside. Now, we all have fragility inside, so there's nothing wrong with being fragile. But I do want to highlight, like you did, Jason, that strength is quite limited. It does not come from an indomitable, anti-fragile space. It comes from quite a fragile space. So as big and as scary and as kind of forceful as it seems at its outset, it's a definitely David and Goliath thing. You know, you throw a rock at its eye and it collapses. It lacks depth and power. And what we found in the Heart of Shadow, and why we're so passionate about it at really every level of the work, is to say, no, this is the path for men. We're unequivocally stating this is a path. We're not the only ones out here in the space. There is a group of us. There's a grouping of men like you and I who are leading at a very, very high level and are saying there's a way towards a more masculine culture that's just and verdant, beautiful, and powerful. And it's over here. And we're also saying this other way that you're seeing, that is not the way. That is not a path. That is not a path to anti-fragility. It is not a path to love and connection. It is not a path to a more beautiful world. It simply is not. And now the choice, we're making the choice very clear. This way or this way. You have the will to choose. I'm not judging your choice. As long as you're not hurting other people, you start to hurt people, then you know we definitely have a problem. But yeah, anti-fragility. So it is what's happening. This is what's happening right now in the world, and this is what you and I teach.
And it's a real thing that you can step into, guys. You know, that's part of why I wanted to talk about this. That there is a mechanism possible that we experience in our own group, that we've helped create in groups, where the stress of life doesn't just break you down, wear you down, etc., but you learn to work with it, that every stressor becomes a strengthener, right? It makes you less fragile, able to handle more and more in life, and allow you to create more connection, more love, more direction, you know, in your life. Because again, when you're able to take the stresses of life and transmute them, you're willing to get stressed more, which just means I'm going to try new things. I'm going to leave my comfort zone. I'm going to take risks, right? It's not about beating the shit out of yourself, but it's about, oh, hey, I can do this thing. Maybe I can have this conversation with my partner. Maybe I can set this boundary with my boss. And anytime this stuff starts to become present in my nervous system, I get excited for it. You know, my Zen teacher, you know, always remember him saying, your angst is your liberation, When you take that perspective, it's like, wow, the thing I'm getting angsty about, that is the doorway through to my freedom. And we've created a mechanism in community for you to step through that door that is, yes, incredibly deep, can be really challenging, but it's also fun as shit. Like every time I do one of these groups, I'm like, this is so much fun. And we see our guys too. At first, it's like heaviness, but then there's this feeling of, you know, certainly for me, this many decades in, of like, what else is there to do? Like, what am I going to just like, I don't know, sit back and like watch it. I'm like, this is what I live for. This is so engaging for me to see men open up and step in and get into these incredibly powerful states. That is just so enlivening for me, and you know why I'm going to keep dedicating my life to it along with you and the men we see then taking this torch and bringing it out on their own. I mean, it's just so incredible of how much energy can be liberated when we take this kind of anti-fragile state of, okay, the disorder of life, the chaos of life, the stress of life, the conflict of life, that actually every time I directly engage with that, I come out of that with more power, more love, more energy, more connection. And that really is a pretty unstoppable state of being. And it's a one that's available to you guys. And so Luke and I are deep in a cohort right now. We'll be having another one later this year. If you're interested, you just go to heartofshadow.com. There's a waiting list you can join there. And, you know, Heart of Shadow is just part of a path we're creating of men who really want to step onto this trajectory with this particular technology that, to me, it's really inarguable in my own experience that it has made me anti-fragile, right? It's made me more capable in life. And I'm not just suffering through it anymore, but I can take the challenges of life and I can turn them into even more life force and energy.
I mean, being able to offer this to other men, Jason, in the way we've designed it, the way we refine it every iteration, we tighten it up. You and I keep learning more because we're living in a space, the space of creativity. We live in it. And so we continue to refine this offering. It's, of course, a deep, utter joy. It's an honor to work with men. It's an honor to work with you, to have such a great partner. And, you know, we can see where it's headed. We can see where it's headed. And if you're out there listening and you're interested, you know, please contact us. We would love to get you involved. It's very powerful. The men that have gone through this already, they're still in their men's groups. They're still going. And they're self-organized. It's just the most amazing phenomenon, something Jason and I could have never anticipated. But the groups are still going, you know, some years later. And this is the vanguard of masculinity. This is the evolutionary edge. Come join us. Be a part of this. It's incredible. And you're needed. We need you. We need your support. Evolutionary.men, Heart of Shadow. Check us out.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
See you, brother.
I'm excited to announce that doors are now open for the men's group experience. This is your chance to join a powerful brotherhood of men ready to grow, lead, and live with purpose. If you're done playing small and ready to rise, this is where it starts. Just head over to mens.group to learn more. If you're interested in working with me around dating, relationships, or your masculine presence in the world, just go to evolutionary.men/apply.